All right, let's add Joe Eaton to the conversation. And Joe is the Southwest. Is it director or chairman?
It's kind of just a title. We're 100% volunteer organization. Okay. So I'm just the one that volunteers in the Cincinnati area.
Okay, with the Buckeye Firearms Association.
That's correct.
All right, and for folks who are not aware of what you guys stand for, who are you? What's your mission statement?
We're a statewide political action committee, a nonpartisan group that is fighting to expand the rights of legal gun ownership in Ohio.
Yep, and the last time we talked, I think it was because you guys were somehow involved with arming teachers or wanting to arm teachers. How's that going?
Yeah, our educational foundation, which is a second part of Buckeye Firearms, started that. I actually had our first class back in March. We have six more classes this summer. In fact, at the end of summer, we'll have over 200 teachers that have went through the training program. And it's not simply arming the teachers. It includes a lot of studies by the experts on, you know, identifying these type of people that may be committing violence against the kids, gives them trauma medical care and stuff like that. It can be used even in any type of accidents or tornadoes or things like that.
Right, or, you know, some other things, which we'll get to in a second. So you said 200 teachers, you think by the end of the summer here in Ohio, would have gotten that training?
That's correct, yes.
Wow.
We had over 1,500 which applied, and it's simply a funding thing.
Simply a funding thing.
We're working through it as funding comes in and trying to get as many teachers that can during their off season through the training.
So where are these teachers from? Any from Hamilton County, from Cincinnati?
We have had them from all over the state. We've tried to do a wide variety of teachers from both private, parochial, rural, urban schools.
Right.
All grade levels, maintenance members, administrators. We even had one cafeteria lady, which signed up and went through the training.
Oh, my God. You armed the cafeteria lady? Are you nuts?
Yes, little old lady in the hairnet.
Oh, my God.
Could be there to help help save our kids.
Right. You're not going to eat this chicken? That's an apple. Eat it. Come on, Joe. You know what you've done to some poor kids out there, man. Eat this apple. Oh, man. Joe, so you're telling me from Cincinnati Public Schools, there are some teachers that went through your training?
You know, we're not releasing. We're letting the schools themselves and the teachers release who they're sending through it.
Some
schools
I want to know.
Are very sensitive to that, as well as the teachers, depending on the areas. And, you know, even the school boards themselves all get to make that decision.
Oh, man, so, we got to know. That's got to be public knowledge. No. Where children are? Concealed and carry? Nah, man. We need to know that information. Thanks for that, man. You gave me a little trail to go down through in the near future. But let's go to this, man. I saw that you guys now are taking donations to buy a new gun for Zimmerman. Is that true?
Zimmerman? That's correct. We started a Second Amendment support fund. Donation will go out to Zimmerman for any tools that he needs at this point.
Like what? Like just to give him some pocket change?
You know, if he's at this point, the Department of Justice has again, refused to return his property and his firearms. So, we're looking to try to make him back as close to whole as he was before the whole incident started.
Wow. So, how did this conversation start? Was this your decision? Why was the decision made? What's your point?
Well, the point is at some point, this whole situation needs to come to an end. It's been a long, drawn out time for the entire country and for Zimmerman in particular. And, the Department of Justice, seemed to not want to look at this at all in the beginning. Now that the jury verdict has came in, they're wanting to look at it again and still delay this even further. At some point, for anybody that's been through the judicial system, we've got to say, this time is over. It's time to move forward. And that's all we're simply looking to do.
Are you guys going to maybe take up a collection plate or offer donations for the Martin family? Because, they've gone through a lot of things as well.
That's one thing that, from a Second Amendment standpoint, if they were keeping their property from them, that would be something we've looked at.
Okay. So you basically, it's a political standpoint and it's all about the Second Amendment. What's your take on the Zimmerman trial, though? Do you think that the verdict was righteous? Did the right thing happen with the right conclusion?
It's tough to say because, again, those six people got to hear everything we've heard so much of it filtered through. Unfortunately, right or wrong, the jury system's the only thing that we've got to go on in this country, and you know, I think that the whole thing played through the only way that it could. You know, initially it came out that, you know, it was a stand your ground type of a verdict. You know, the police looked at it and the prosecutor first looked at it and agreed with that. The state's attorney looked at it and said, we think there may be something more involved. So, you know, she brought the charges at the state level. And we let it play out through the judicial system, which is really, unfortunately, the only avenue that we have to go down on these roads.
Right. Would you have felt the same way had Zimmerman been found guilty, though?
Exactly. I mean, that's why we have these laws in place and why we have to, you know, right or wrong, put our trust into the jury system because, you know, there is no other option that we have at this point.
I know, man. I mean, that's why organizations like yours are going to be like at the tip of the spear of this conversation over the next couple of years. Because you've got these stand your ground laws. And hey, Joe, I don't know if you know this, man, but there's been some conversation about maybe introducing a bill or legislation here in Ohio. Stand your ground.
Exactly. I think that's House Bill 203, which was introduced last week or 2 weeks ago, I believe it is. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, much like the Castle Doctrine that we had here in Ohio when it first came in, which is basically similar to stand your ground, but only in your home or your business. You know, there was a lot of uncertainty at that point, but, you know, over the years we've seen that it works for the community, and, you know, there's no reason to think that when Ohio joins the other 22, 23 states which have something similar that we won't see, you know, the same benefits here.
Yeah, I think that, two things. I think that would be a colossally bad idea to have stand your ground. And even introduce that stand your ground mentality here in our state, here in Ohio. I mean, such a bad idea. Then secondly, I got to be honest with you, man. I think arming teachers, you're arming lunch ladies, man. I hope it doesn't go down like this. But if some kid gets killed, you guys are going to be partially responsible. You're going to have blood on your hands, quite honestly, Joe.
You know, Nathan, and we've heard that quite a bit, even from the whole concealed carry standpoint. But when you're talking with these teachers and working with these teachers, doesn't matter who they are, they've proven time and time again that they're going to die for the kids that we put in their care. If some tragedy like Sandy Hook, or even, you know, I used to tell all the media this is going to come to Ohio. Well, last year we had Chardon come here to Ohio. I have to tell them now, you know, it kills me to say that this is going to happen in our part of the state. And every time something like this happens, we say we need to do something. We shoulda, woulda, coulda. And, you know, the experts on this have said that having somebody there that can stop this type of murder is the only feasible way to reduce these deaths. You're never going to eliminate them. But getting someone there that can confront the person immediately is the only way that you start reducing these deaths.
Yeah, but I think what some of these teachers did not tell you is that they're getting the weapons for protections from the neighborhoods that they're living in, and some of the students and parents they may be confronted by. And I just think it's a bad mixture, quite honestly. Now, they're going to make it public so we as parents know. Because I have a child in the Cincinnati public system. That's why my ears stood up when you said that. And I'll probe a little deeper. But I need to know that. I want to know that. Because much like what the Zimmerman trial shows us? Is that sometimes the people that can get a gun through legal maneuvers can't be trusted. They can't be trusted. They don't have the right mental state.
But you're putting your kids in charge of these people regardless. And, you know, this is only for teachers which, you know, have the desire to do something like this. We looked at the statistics of the teachers that applied, the 1,500. Over 45% of them already had their concealed handgun license in Ohio and are carrying everywhere else that they go throughout their day except for when they're with our kids in school. And, you know, all that they're asking is to have that same ability to protect not only themselves while they're in school, but the kids which we put under their care.
Right.
And, you know, it's not that much of a change when they're already doing this every other hour of the day.
And then lastly, before we go to the phones, I just think, and again, I know there's like two worlds. There really is, politically speaking. Like, for the world that you probably live in, Joe, like the Second Amendment crowd, you know, anti-Obama, progressives, everybody's taking down America, that kind of world, your move in putting up donations for Zimmerman, you're probably getting mass props for that, aren't you? But outside of that, it comes across as tasteless. And I know you say you're trying to raise money for him because there may be a federal charge, but there has been no charge at this point. So it sounds like, it looks like, so Joe, it just comes across like you're just giving this cat pocket change right? So, you know, he's got enough money to bury himself until whatever else happens.
But, you know, again, and it's not just this particular case. We went through a similar thing with Damon Wells up in Cleveland back in 2007, 2008. And, you know, Buckeye Firearms went through a similar thing with Mr. Wells up there after the city of Cleveland. He was found not guilty in a self-defense shooting. They decided to keep his firearm. In fact, we went to the point of changing the law in Ohio where the cities that now refuse under court order to return property like that are responsible for all of the legal fees that it takes to get their property back. So, you know, we've been addressing this over the years. This was just, again, one which gathered a lot of national attention and, you know, will enable us to do this similar thing for cases in the future also.
Right. Well, I understand. I mean, there's no method to your crazy, but at least your crazy is consistent. I give you that much. But let's go to the phones here in a couple of minutes, and then we've got to take a break. But then, you know, secondly, I mean, like I said, I mean, outside of your world, and how much money were you able to raise for the guy up in Cleveland?
The guy in Cleveland, we did not do a fundraiser for that one. We provided legal assistance to him, and then we worked on getting the law changed, which will provide a repayment for legal fees for anybody in the future.
How much money have you guys raised for Zimmerman to this point?
At this point, the fund is just over $3,000.
$3,000? Wow! $3,000 for this nut job?
It, again, is a person who was found innocent at this point and, you know, is not able to get his property back. All of that will go directly to the Zimmerman case, whatever he needs to make himself whole. And, again, the rest of it will go to future cases in Ohio and throughout the United States.
Hey, Joe, crazy needs cash, too. Okay, let's go to the phone. Let's catch up with Howard. He was at the rally yesterday. What's up, Howard?
Hey, Nathan, how's it going?
I'm doing well.
I just wanted to say, and I didn't even call to talk about Joe, but I just wanted to make this point. I graduated from the University of Cincinnati with a graduate degree in education, and there weren't many people that looked like me in the classrooms at the time.
Right.
And I tell you, these were people that were working as educators, most of which were in the public sector. And the scariest thing in the world would be to empower some of those educated lunatics with ammunition around our children, because they automatically, as one person alluded to throughout this series of courses, the banshees. So they come in with the Zimmerman jurist attitudes, already prejudging what our children are about. So the craziest thing in the world we could allow is to alienate people around our children, which brings me to another point. I think you have an excellent issue today. Our issues are always devalued, because whenever something happens, whether it's Trayvon, whether it's Timothy Thomas, it then becomes a form for unemployment, black-on-black crime, domestic violence. Every issue in the world sidetracks the main issue, and then it's devalued, and before you know it, it's out of sight. You know, Cecil came on the radio Friday with Lincoln, and he talked about yesterday's rally, which I applaud the white folks that were there also, because Trayvon is a national tragic issue that crossed all lines.
I would agree on that.
Now, the prominent cause, the core factor, was the color of his skin, but the issue remains, the outcome is a national tragedy that every American ought to be outraged about. But Cecil on Lincoln's show,
what did he say?
Alluded to the fact, we don't want them coming down there acting like fools. Come on, Cecil. And more importantly,
now what does that mean, acting like fools? Like injecting violence?
I'm sorry?
Maybe he was saying ingesting violence. Was that the point he was trying to make? What does he mean, acting like fools?
I don't know what it was.
Don't come down there playing no Lil Wayne and no T.I.
To allude foolishness to this cause, whatever it was. I mean, there's a word called, we don't want nonviolence, or we don't want violence there. We don't want any acting out behavior. But to associate the word foolishness when you know there's going to be an assembly of people that look like us there, it automatically sets up, as Bill Cosby would say when he gives his rhetoric on African-American men.
Right, I got you, Howard.
It devalues us.
Right. No, Howard, I think you're right, man. I think you're onto something. And thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I understand. Joe, you know where he's coming from?
You know, it's something we handle quite a bit on the Second Amendment side. You know, it's brought up as an issue, and people look to move on to the next issue too quickly. And again, that doesn't provide solutions. You know, right or wrong, nobody has the right solutions, or we'd have them in place already. But having conversations like this with you and with other people is what keeps us moving forward.
Well, I love you. Hey, Joe's a good sport, man. And Joe, I appreciate you coming on. Can you hold another break? We got some folks online that really like to ask you a few questions.
Yeah, that's no problem.
Okay, if you're just tuning in, Joe's organization is working at making Ohio less safe. One gun at a time. Is that right, Joe?
Easy now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just getting to the bottom. I like the bottom line things, man.
We're looking to do is to allow the honest gun owners to own and use their firearms however way they would like.
I just think that proliferating guns makes us less safe. But we'll get to the bottom on the other side.
It's not a correct assumption.
It's absolutely correct. Conclusion, quite honestly. Observation probably be better. I'm Nate Ivey. We'll be right back right after this.
1230 The Buzz, your talk station.
All right, back from my hiatus, politicking on the latest. Good morning and welcome back. This is 1230 AM, WDBZ. I'm Nate Ivey, one man, one microphone, and welcome back to the conversation. Talking about Trayvon Martin, the rally downtown yesterday, the conversation about black-on-black crime was injected. I say that's the wrong place for it. The issues, deeper and broader, speak about the American justice system. Some would say injustice system, and not necessarily about black-on-black crime. I understand it's an issue. It's very, very complicated. And when it's injected into the Trayvon Martin case, it just comes across as a feeble attempt, and I do mean feeble attempt, to muddy the waters. But cats like you and me and T on the ones and twos this morning, we can see right through that. On the line, and we got Joe Eden, and he is with the Buckeye Firearms Association. They've raised $3,000, Joe said earlier, for George Zimmerman to buy a new firearm or, I don't know, to get some Cholitos while he's hiding out to see if there's going to be, if justice is going to come calling. And his organization, in my humble opinion, is working very hard to make Ohio less safe by promoting the mass proliferation of guns. Is that about right, Joe?
Well, I want to try and understand why you think it's making it less safe to have firearms in the hands of honest, responsible people.
Well,
is this not a violent society that we live in, where violence against innocent victims is something? Is that something that we should applaud or move forward, or something we should try to limit and minimize?
Well, I think that we should try to limit and minimize the mass proliferations of guns as much as possible. Joe, you asked me a question. Can I answer it? That's one. The number two, you're arming teachers. You've armed about 200 teachers by the end of the summer here in Ohio. I think that makes us less safe. We as parents have a right to know who those teachers are if they're in public schools. And then lastly, the Zimmerman trial tells us as nothing else is that sometimes the people who get their guns through legal means have very bad judgment. And that would be George Zimmerman.
Again, I think a wrong opinion or assumption on it. You know, the fact is that, you know, if you look at the schools in general, the worst attack that has ever taken place in schools was not done with firearms. It was a long time ago, back before modern society, and they used dynamite on it. The Columbine.
But why are we talking about? Well, why would we talk? Why would you use an example of the before modern times? We're talking about here and now. Joe?
Okay, you know, the Columbine one, they were not planning on shooting the students and killing them. They had 99 explosive devices that they had in the school. It is violence in society. It's not gun violence. The gun is simply an inanimate object which can be used and is used more often to protect and preserve lives than it is to take lives.
Yeah, but in the hands of the immature and the uninitiated in terms of training, it's a deadly weapon. You see it with kids. Right?
I agree. Exactly, 100%.
You see, with young folks.
But that's not who we're looking for. We're looking for teachers that have this desire, have this passion to do anything they can to keep our kids safe while they're under their care.
But tell me, so you're not promoting the proliferation of guns in this state? Of course you are, Joe.
No, simply protecting the rights of honest gun owners to own and use their firearms.
Joe's a good sport, and here, you know, to defend his viewpoint. And I appreciate that, Joe. I really do. Let's go straight to the phones. Let's catch up with Ray. Good morning, Ray.
How's it going, Nate?
I'm doing very well.
Yes. I'm going to leave you with, I'm going to ask two questions. I'm going to hang up and listen. I'm assuming you're a right-wing Republican Tea Party member, right?
Myself? The Republican Party, I don't think that I agree with them on a lot of things.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm more of a libertarian, Ben.
Okay. Now, you can never relate to the President Obama speech he made the other day, and I was wondering if you heard the speech and did it affect you one way or another, number one. Number two is, I don't know how old you are, or I don't know if you have kids enough, or your kids old enough to, to walk the streets in the rain with a hoodie on. What would you tell them if somebody was following them with a gun? What would you have them do if they were minding their own business, walking home from the store with a bag of candy and a pop, and someone swallowed them? What would you tell them to do as a father? And I'll hang up and listen.
Good morning, Ray. Thanks.
Yeah, I didn't recall his first question after the political affiliation. But, to the last one, again, in that situation, turning it into a violent situation is something that does not have a good outcome. My kids, and I do have three of them, one of them just finished up high school. The instructions would be to them is to, get yourself to some place where there's somebody else around, where you're in a safe environment. There is no right or wrong answers at that point in time. And we found this, with the Zimmerman case, the stuff that happened up to and beyond that, the jury had to look at simply what happened when the physical confrontation started. Did George Zimmerman fear that he was in serious bodily harm or risk of death at that point in time? And, that's the unfortunate way that the criminal justice system works, is they have to look at the specifics of each individual case. And up until the point in time that a physical confrontation started, there was no crimes being committed, and, there would have been no need for any of this.
Right. Joe Eden is a good sport. Joe, I'm going to take a break and come back. We got a lot of phones on a lot of folks on the lines that want to ask you questions. And I'm just going to move out of the way and let you guys interact. Is that cool?
Yeah, I'll hang around as long as I can.
Okay, Joe is with us. We'll take a break, 12:30 a.m., WDBZ. And we're getting right back into the conversation. I'm Nate Ivey. Welcome. Good morning. And my guest is Joe Eaton. He is with the Buckeye Firearms Association. They've raised online. They're giving you the opportunity this morning to go to their website. Joe, what's that website where people can donate?
It's
BuckeyeFirearms.org. And you can donate to give money to George Zimmerman. And they've already raised about $3,000. Is that about right, Joe?
That's correct.
All right, for Zimmerman, so he can buy a new firearm. And how would you feel if he goes right back out and kills another unarmed teenager? Joe?
Again, you have to go back to that situation. The jury concluded at that point in time that was his only way to preserve his life, and we have to go by the facts that were presented out at that point.
That's
one reason that we have waited until after the verdict just came through to come to do anything at all on this situation. And once the verdict decision has came down, the fact that the Department of Justice has decided to still hang on to his property, from a Second Amendment standpoint, we just wanted to make him as whole as possible.
Okay, Joe Eden, let's go straight to the phones. Let's catch up with where we're going here. We've got guy and T. Where are we going here? Let's talk to Chuck. How you doing, Chuck?
Nathan, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. I differ somewhat with you, Joe, on arming the teachers, but I totally believe the schools should be armed. And it would be my suggestion to have the men and women coming back from the military that can't find jobs to have them as actual guards within the schools, because it's very obvious to anyone that the only time that an event in a school ends is when the perpetrator runs out of ammunition or he commits suicide. But there's one thing, and I sent this, Nathan, to Terrence so he could forward it to you. There's one thing that when people talk about concealed carry and the Castle Doctrine and stand your ground and yada, 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 there's one thing that people should really consider, and I'm going to quote this, and you're getting an email from Terrence at his convenience, but this is a quote. This comes out of Warren versus District of Columbia at Court of Appeals. Quote, fundamental principle of American law that a government and its agents are under no general duty to provide public services such as police protection to any citizen. What that's basically saying, there was an individual that sued the District of Columbia because it took 18 minutes for police to arrive, but the individuals that broke into her home killed three of her four family members before the police arrived, and they were gone. And she sued the District of Columbia for a slow response.
Did she have a firearm?
And the federal court says the government is not to provide, it's not the general duty to provide public services. So we as a people have to take it upon ourselves. And Nathan, you have to be very obvious and candid when I bring this up to say I'm right. The purpose of police is never to prevent a crime. It's usually to report on it after it occurs.
Right, right. But police, a police preference, we can't deny, can have a an impact on crime taking place.
When they walk the beat, I agree 100%. Just driving through, maybe.
Well, I mean, that's the reason why you put police at a protest like yesterday. It's the reason why you may have a police at a nightclub. Or it's the reason why you have police while you have downtown events. Come on now, you know there's a connection there. But Chuck, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's move on. Let's catch up with Michael. How you doing, Michael?
Good morning, Nate.
Good morning.
I'd like to take a guess. I think he's very ignorant to account the facts. John Zimmerman has been convicted of assaulting a police officer. He's been convicted of assaulting his fiance. He was on medication. And so he has a disability. He should not have a gun, period.
Joe, you want to respond to Michael?
Again, those particular arguments I'm not that familiar with. If under Florida federal law, if it was a past domestic violence conviction, then that could be a disclaimer. But I've never heard that, he was a possession of a firearm under a disability was ever a charge they even looked at in this case. So,
he was arrested for resisting arrest because the police officer.
That I don't know, but that in and of itself, unless it was a felony conviction, is not a disqualification.
Violent police offender. If he was there, an armed policeman, then a black child has no chance against this scoundrel. Either be more educated or don't be a hypocrite. Mm. You're lying, you're stupid, whichever.
Whoa, Michael. Oh, man, Michael came hard on that one.
Hey, it's hard to have a conversation like that.
Yeah. Let's say this, man. I still say your organization, and maybe you're doing it unwittingly. Maybe you just don't understand what you're really doing. But you're promoting the proliferation of guns, the rapid increase of guns.
Firearm ownership by honest people reduces crime, reduces violence, and makes Ohio a safer place to live.
I don't know if that's necessarily true.
There have been study after study which have proven exactly that.
Yeah,
but firearms in the hands of honest, law-abiding people save lives instead of taking lives.
But, Joe, if you're getting that information from pro-gun sources, the NRA, the Heritage Foundation, which you may be, then you're not doing yourself a favor.
I'm getting these statistics from the Department of Justice. I'm getting these from Professors Lott and Glock, I think is his name.
Professor Glock? Oh, how apropos. So Professor Glock said that, the proliferation of guns in private hands is a good thing. You gonna take his word? Professor Glock, Joe?
I'm taking the studies that have been done on it, the peer-reviewed studies, the Department of Justice studies that have came out, the ATF studies that have came out. Allowing honest people any tools that they choose to keep themselves or their families alive does not add to violence in society.
Joe,
not just the quote-unquote gun violence of any type.
Well, two things. One, putting up this, this donation page for George Zimmerman is a little bit too early because the jury's still out in the court of public opinions. And number two, the nines are not really going to be made up.
The jury of public opinion, unfortunately, is not what we have in place.
I'm just saying, and that after he goes to a civil trial and he's on the witness stand, probably looking really stupid, it's going to come back to haunt your organization for supporting this guy beforehand. That's all I'm trying to tell you, man.
Regardless of this particular case, the fact that the jury found him not guilty at this point and that his Second Amendment property was not returned is what this whole fund is about.
And, And in a lot of Cincinnati public schools, they already have like a resource officer. At least they did. Exactly. Who knows? It'll probably get cut out with the next budget, right?
But unfortunately, that's true.
And those police officers have guns. So there's already guns in many schools on a regular basis. Your organization, by going out there and offering this free training for these teachers, is only going to proliferate that. Create more guns in the situation.
And all of the experts say that is a good thing. When any of these murders happen in our schools, on average, 4 to 5 kids die every single minute. At Virginia Tech, which for police response, they had 2 SWAT teams at Virginia Tech at the time the second shooting started happening, and 8 kids a minute died at Virginia Tech. You cannot even allow this to go on more. You know, the best case scenario is people realize something is going on after about a minute. Virginia Tech, they thought it was construction noise across the street and waited until there were more shots. It takes another minute until they get somebody to call 911. It takes another minute for 911 to process it and then dispatch the police. Even if they're sitting in the parking lot, you're already 3 minutes into it and 15 to 20 dead kids. And that's not acceptable.
And at the same time, and since you spend all that time on, you know, all these official websites, you probably come across this, that in terms of violent handguns, and again, this is going to fly in the face, the feds have said over the last 10 years, the trends are going down. And I know everybody's talking about what's happening in Chicago, but the numbers say last 10 years, violent handgun violence going down. But yet people are so phobic about it. So, you know, the only thing that, you know, look, with your mentality, Joe, it seems to me that the only thing that Trayvon Martin could have done to protect himself is to have a gun.
In that situation, avoiding a physical confrontation would have been the correct thing to do. And until that physical confrontation
happened,
one point or another, there was no crime on either side.
Joe, what people are conveniently forgetting is that he tried to avoid it. He tried to avoid it. But when you're dealing with someone with a gun, right, and they're all pumped up because they know they've got something in their pocket to protect them, sometimes it can be very difficult, if not impossible. And I think that's the situation Trayvon was in. You know, that's what it sounds like.
Again, what it thinks and sounds like, the jury looked at all of this and decided that simply was not the facts.
Come on, man. Jury, Joe, come on, man. If you committed a crime.
Nathan, everybody.
Let's be real, Joe.
What other option do we have in place? Both sides picked this jury. Trayvon's lawyer picked this jury.
Joe, keep it real with me.
What we set out there. What other options do we have?
Joe, keep it real with me, right? Let's say we don't. I'm just saying, we need to have a deeper conversation about how these juries are pulled together. And let me give you a quick question to get to the heart of the matter. You're on trial, right, for killing, let's say you're in the Zimmerman verdict. You're in Zimmerman's shoes. You're on trial. You're Zimmerman. And the juries are black. How do you feel about that? You think you can get a fair shake?
I will get the only fair shake that I will get from people who are going to listen to all of that information. And, you know, again, you have to go back to the beginning. The reason that he used deadly force and what the jury found was the reason he used deadly force is because he was in fear for his life. And my sole job as a husband and father is to go home to my family the same way that I left that evening. Now, again, we can debate the facts on whether in my situation would I go out and follow people around that I thought were thought they were committing crimes.
That's not my question, Joe. My question is, if you were in Zimmerman's seat, you're on trial for your life. You just killed a black kid and the entire jury is black and one Hispanic woman. You feel like you're going to get justice out of that? I'm just saying I feel like I am going to get justice
because I know that before I would use deadly force that it was my last resort.
I think you're being dishonest about how you would feel, but that's okay. Let's go back to the phones. Let's catch up with Walters. What's up, Walters?
Well, it sounds a little insane to me, giving Zimmerman another gun. I mean, that's not good for the organization this cat's backing. It's just making him look really foolish. And then another thing, I believe that with this black-on-black violence, it has nothing to do with George Zimmerman's case. I think Zimmerman was just an idiot that was profiling a child and shot an innocent child with Skittles and a green tea. And I think it's just insane what Zimmerman did.
All right. Walter, you have a direct question for Joe.
Yeah, Joe, don't you think that it's insane, your organization giving Zimmerman a gun? Doesn't it make you look foolish and stupid as a gun owner?
You know, obviously not, because what we're looking to do is simply provide him with his Second Amendment rights again, which, after being found not guilty and the fact that his only choice in that situation was to use deadly force to defend himself.
He may have been out chasing a child now.
Let him finish, Walters.
The child would be living, and Zimmerman wouldn't be through all this stuff. It sounds like
I'm not disagreeing with that at all, but the point that they have to look at, and all of us have to look at, is at the point in time where the physical confrontation was taking place, was George Zimmerman in fear of serious bodily harm or death?
Well, Zimmerman hadn't been out there chasing a child down, profiling him.
I'm not arguing that at all. I just said that I don't think that's a smart decision.
What Zimmerman did was crazy.
Okay, Walters.
Uncalled for.
Thanks for the call, Walters. Good question.
Exactly.
I appreciate it.
It is uncalled for, yeah.
It is. Hey, listen, are you going to support the Martin family? They've got something. I don't know if you heard about this, Joe. It's called the Trayvon Martin Foundation. And here's what they're going to be doing. They're going to be pushing for states like Florida, and if it passes, I guess, in Ohio, states like Ohio, to add an addendum to the Stand Your Ground laws that says that you can't pursue someone, get into an altercation, kill them, and then claim self-defense. Doesn't that seem like a legitimate goal for, I think, your organization to attach itself to?
And, you know, in Ohio, that is already part of the self-defense law in Ohio.
Right, but I'm saying,
the court in Ohio says that there's three things. You cannot start the confrontation. You have to be in immediate fear of death or serious bodily harm.
Right.
Right now, if you're outside your home, you have to have no other way whatsoever to avoid that confrontation.
Because we don't have a Stand Your Ground law. And that's why Stand Your Ground is so different in Florida, because it extends beyond the Castle Doctrine, outside your home, outside your vehicle. But since you sent money from Ohio, I mean, you're based in Ohio, to Florida, I'm just saying, how about sending some cash down there to the Martin Family Foundation? Because it sounds like they've got a great idea. They're saying, look, if you're not going to do away with Stand Your Ground, add this. You can't profile someone, stalk them, and then shoot them, and then claim self-defense. How many dollars are you willing to pledge for that?
You know, again, we'll have to look at that situation. I'm not familiar with what they're looking at doing, but
I just told you what they're looking at doing.
The difference is that, are you saying that if you're out in public somewhere and you're attacked, that you should have to find a way to get out of that situation?
No, I don't read it like that. No, what I read it like is, you can't pull a Zimmerman. Okay, let me coin that phrase. Meaning that you can't profile someone because you think they're suspicious, follow them, kill them, and then claim self-defense. That sounds like a legitimate goal.
And, you know, the jury looked at all of this and said everything up to that point was not a part of this confrontation.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the jury. I'm asking, since you sent $3,000.
Stand Your Ground was not even part of his defense. He said this was simply self-defense, which is totally different from the Stand Your Ground.
It was introduced. It was introduced to the jury at the very end of part of the jury notes and the jury direction. So it's a part of. It's a part of the mentality. What I'm saying is, you guys raised $3,000 for Zimmerman because you're sympathetic about the Second Amendment and he needs to get his gun back. Hey, how about legitimize yourself and send another $3,000 to the Martin Foundation so they can introduce an addendum to a bill that, quite frankly, makes all the people that support it seem a little out there, a little crazy, a little disconnected.
It's something I can definitely take up with the board.
I wish you would, man, because I think they're going to try to make some sense of this tragedy, and that sounds like a good direction. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's catch up with... No, we got to take a break, actually. We'll take a break and come back. Joe, you still got time?
That's fine, Nathan.
All right, Joe is still with us. He's with the Buckeye Firearms Association. They've raised about $3,000 for Zimmerman. I'm trying to say, look, you know, can we get at least $9,000? Because at least Zimmerman's still alive. Can we get at least $9,000 for the Trayvon Martin Foundation? And also taking your phone calls. We'll be right back. All right, I'm Nate Ivey of Virgo with Superlative Flow. Welcome back, 1230 AM, WDBZ. That is our illustrious station here. Our number, 513-749-1230. Sorry about that. Kind of talk and read at the same time. And looking at other things, my guest is none other than Joe Eaton. He is with the Buckeye Firearms Association. And we've been discussing his organization and some of the things they're doing and the politics surrounding the Zimmerman verdict. And welcome back to the conversation, Joe. Appreciate it.
Glad to be back.
All right. And again, quite honestly, Your organization, in my opinion, is working very hard to make Ohio less safe. And I'm making a desperate appeal to you this morning, Joe, to maybe take it back, you know, to the board of directors or whomever, to maybe change their ways. You guys have raised $3,000 for Zimmerman. How about raising, double that for the Martin Family Foundation so they can try to bring some common sense to the gun laws? I mean, that's a righteous move right there, Joe. Don't you agree?
Again, if it in any way helps to protect or expand the rights of gun ownership in Ohio or elsewhere, it's something we will certainly look at.
Well, I think it will, in a sense that it will legitimize your organization, make you seem a little bit more with it, a little bit more compassion. And that can help, that kind of positive, perception of your organization. That can't help but your work. Now, that'll definitely help your work. Has there been any conversation about raising money for the Martin family?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Not to your knowledge. Okay, well, you're going to be a pioneer, huh? They're going to love Joe. All right,
have them check into it, and since we have similar legislation already here in Ohio, it's something we can certainly look at, see if it is a viable option to add into that bill.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Let's catch up with BJ. What's up, BJ?
Hey, Nate, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. You have a question for Joe Eden.
Yeah, Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Joe, do you have a TV? Because everybody in the country saw the Attorney General, the highest law officer in the Florida state, say George Zimmerman profiled Trayvon. She wouldn't say that if she didn't have evidence. She's been practicing law for over 30 years. Second question. They gave George Zimmerman back his bond, which is over $1.5 million. Why are you sending money from Ohio to him?
Again, it goes back to, first of all, the jury and the case was not about what
I'm
happened.
I'm not talking about the jury.
Hey, BJ, let him answer the question.
So, we can argue back and forth, and I've already said that, going out and putting himself in that situation, I don't think was an intelligent thing to do, and it's not something I would do or, as the question earlier, recommend for my kids to do. But, it comes down to the point that he has been found guilty. He should be able to move back on with his life the same way beforehand because of this situation. He was found not guilty. The Department of Justice has decided to, again, restrict his right to get his firearm back, and that's something we just want to try and make right.
Joe, is George Zimmerman a teacher? You train teachers. He's not a teacher.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Any law-abiding person has the right to have a firearm for personal protection. And that's what we are about, is making sure that the people that need the firearms for their own safety and protection have that ability in as unrestricted of a way as possible.
Right.
The criminals that are obtaining firearms and doing a lot of the violence in society are not going to follow these laws anyway. There's nothing we can put on paper, no magic words, which will make the United States a less violent society anymore. If there was, we would have done that a long time ago.
Joe, you're sending a message from Ohio to George saying, we are with you, basically, George. Basically, Joe, that's what you're doing.
What we're saying is this person was found not guilty. There is no restriction on him owning a firearm, possessing a firearm, but yet the courts are still not giving back his firearm. That's all we're saying.
If Trayvon was white and George was black, would you send money to him?
We certainly would. As I said, we've looked at other cases, and we have not done the funding of it at this point because it was something right here in Ohio that we could put legal resources on, that we could get legislation passed to correct. And again, we're a nonpartisan organization. We work with the Democrat side. We work with the Republican side. We will work with anybody who is simply there to support the right of the honest people to own and use firearms.
I got you. BJ, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. I got you. And the more you talk, the more I'm starting to understand it. To you, it's just about the Second Amendment. To folks outside the Second Amendment crowd, it just comes across as crass and tasteless.
I can understand that. And that's why I enjoy having these conversations.
Right.
When we started our teacher program, it was called the Armed Teacher Training Program. And that's gravy with Second Amendment supporters. The teachers are saying, I can't approach my board with an Armed Teacher Training Program. So, we had to go through a rebranding and a rethinking of this. And I'll admit, and that's why I enjoy having these conversations with you, Nathan, is because, it helps me become a better advocate and helps me understand all of the other issues and the other viewpoints that are out there.
All right, definitely. That's a great attitude, man. Let's get back to the phone. Let's catch up with Karen. Good morning, Karen.
Oh, hi. How are you?
How are you? You have a question for Joe?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And okay, when you say, you always say, okay, I wouldn't have did it. So that's your reasoning up front, that you wouldn't have did what Zimmerman did. So that should be your answer. Anything after that, I mean, it shouldn't be no, well, he did it and this is what happened. But if your reasoning up front was, I wouldn't have did it, then that was the right judgment, right? Up front.
That was the right judgment. The fact that he chose not to do that was not a crime. And the jury looked at all of this. Did the fact that he got out of his truck, was that a crime? Was it a crime that he followed him across through there? And none of this was a crime. The only part where the criminal charges came in is when the physical confrontation started, and that's what they had to look at.
But you have to make good decisions, too, right, up front.
Without a doubt. I mean, I tell my kids, the best thing you can do is don't go stupid places with stupid people and do stupid things. And, you know, I will have to agree that more than likely Zimmerman broke more than one of those.
Right. So, I mean, but everything else after that is justifying what he did. But anyway, I wanted to get to the teachers thing about the teachers, you know.
Arming teachers in Ohio?
Yeah. You know, with the stand, they talking about stand your ground. And just like Zimmerman, what he did to Trayvon, a teacher can do that in the classroom, you know, and say, I was standing my ground with the gun. You know, it can be the same scenario. You know, and I,
if the teacher is in immediate fear for her life or the lives of her kids, she should not be able to use any tool she wants to save those lives.
Okay, we have so many different personalities in that classroom.
But wait a minute, it goes back to she has to be in immediate fear for her life or serious bodily harm or those of the kids in her care. In that situation, you're saying she should not be able to protect herself or her kids?
What if a student get out of hand and something like this happened, and the teacher said, well, I was standing my ground. What is keeping the student safe from that? You know, that
she cannot, that would not work. She's not in fear for her life or serious bodily harm. And that's what it comes down to. This is not, as a lot of the other side likes to say, a license to murder. It is simply saying that I'm in a place I'm legally allowed to be. I was attacked. I was in fear for my life, and I had this only option to prevent death or serious bodily harm.
All right, Joe Eden is my guest. Let's go back to the phones. Let's catch up with Black Line. What's up, B?
Hey, how you doing there? You all right today, brother?
I'm doing very well, man. You got a question for Joe?
Yeah, I had a question, and it was kind of puzzling listening to the gentleman. But I wanted to make the statement that he, like you pointed about the Fifth Amendment, and Joe keep pointing out the fact that that's illegal there. But what's legal there in Florida will be illegal in another state. You just can't chase a 17-year-old little boy down and get into a fight with him, you know, chase him in your car and then chase him on foot and then get into a fight with him and shoot and get away with it, because it's not legal in a various state. So now we're not looking at legality. We're really looking at morality. What's moral here or immoral there, just because they make it legal or not? But beyond that, Joe, I really have to ask you, because I think you was being dishonest too. And Joe, if you chased a 17-year-old black girl down, called the police on her, chased her, followed her in your car, then got out and chased her, then got into an altercation with her and shot and killed her, and then you was on court in court for that with 11 black mothers and one white woman, I don't think you'll feel comfortable, George. I mean, Bob, whatever your name is.
Joe.
But I don't think you'll feel comfortable at all. But then I find it funny, Joe, how you can, I don't find it funny, but I find it status quo that you can forgive Zimmerman for his crime, just like you forgave the forefathers of this country for their crimes.
Right.
And you're willing to benefit from that. So I would imagine you would have this idea or this perspective. But y'all two have a good day, and I thank you.
Black Lion, any comment to that, Joe?
You know, again, the jury system is what we have. If I'm faced with a jury of my peers, you know, that is who was selected to determine my thoughts, my actions at that point in time. And until we come up with a better solution, that is what we have to go with.
Joe, that doesn't make you a bad guy to admit the truth, quite honestly. I mean, I said that earlier. Back Line kind of backed me up a little bit. Come on now. You're being dishonest. I mean, if you were in Zimmerman's
space, for, I mean,
it's a mostly black jury.
The jury made a difference, or that benefited one side or another.
And it's a mostly black jury. You're going to tell me you're not going to feel a bit uncomfortable? That's what a conversation should be. I mean, a justice system.
Are they a jury of my peers? That is what my lawyer will have to determine, what the other side will have to determine.
Well, define peers. I mean, listen, I mean, you can pull people here in the city of Cincinnati from the same zip code, but this is one of the most segregated cities in America.
Okay.
So that might not necessarily be reflective of who I am, right, and who I've been. And how should
and that's
be perceived?
Why there are stringent selections, there are vetoes, there are hundreds and hundreds of people selected, and both sides decide who is the closest representation out of this pool that we can put in place. And, Nathan, we have no other option.
Right.
What
I
is my option at that point to say, I don't agree with this selection, I think I should just, nothing should happen, or I think I should just be charged by the media or the court of public opinion? There is no other option.
The other offers is for the people to rise up, let their voice be heard, and then to support politicians and legislators that really want to change the system and bring about more equality, a true sense of justice. But it starts with conversations
exactly
like today.
What Firearms is doing for the Second Amendment.
Well, what you guys are doing is slowly making Ohio less safe, gun at a time. That's what you're doing.
That's untrue.
It's very true. But let's get back to the phone. Let's talk to Dave in Forest Park. What's up, Dave?
Okay, Nathan, how you doing this morning?
Very well, very well.
Yeah, personally, Nathan, I support stand your ground and self-defense, but I have to agree with you that amendment should be added to it, though.
The Trayvon Martin amendment, yeah.
Yeah, that definitely needs to be in place. There's no doubt about that. My question to Joe is this here. Joe, you just said that you have collected, what, $3,000?
Yes.
Okay, for Zimmerman. Okay, now, is that money for him to hire a lawyer to go to court to try to get his weapon back? Or did I understand you to say that money is to be used for him to purchase a weapon?
At this point in time, we would like the money to be used for him to purchase whatever he feels he needs at this point in time until he can get his lawfully owned property back from the Department of Justice.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense. For number one, it don't take no $3,000 to go out to buy a weapon. That's number one. And then number two, he was found not guilty. He can go out and buy his own weapon.
Exactly. But again, you have to look at a couple of different things. If you look at the press release, this fund is not simply for the Zimmerman case. It is for this case to start with and any other times that this happens. Reflecting back to the last major one that we had in Ohio in 2007, the Damon Weld case, where we were able to fight this through the courts for him, and we were able to change legislation at that point in time to help out people that this will help happen again.
Well, the fact is
that George Zimmerman, any of his income that is coming in is more than likely going to go straight for legal fees, which I'm sure are more astronomical than any of us can imagine at this point in time.
But once again, explain to me once again, what is your $3,000 for? Is it for him to hire a lawyer?
It's for whatever he wants.
His weapon back, or for him to buy a weapon? Because he can go out and buy a weapon.
It's for steak dinners. It's for some. It's to go out and get some dope to relax. It's for a new gun. It's for whatever he wants, right? New Xbox. Whatever he wants, right, Joe?
The idea is to make him as close to the way before all this happens as he was then.
Well, Nathan, he's not answering
the Department
my
of
question,
Justice is holding so. His property. We would like to help him find another way to have protection.
But Davey answered your question. He said the money basically is they want him to use it, I guess, to buy a new gun. But basically, there's not going to be any regulations. You're not calling down there and double checking the credit card. I mean, he can use the money for whatever.
Right.
So pick up some women.
It don't take no $3,000 to buy a weapon.
Well, true that. You want to get a really nice one.
Why would you give him money to go buy one when he can go out and buy it himself?
Dave, thanks for the call, man. Joe, I think you gave him the answers there. I mean, he may not like it, but you're not going to regulate how he spends the money. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that's, you know, being outside the state of Ohio, that is not something that we can really control.
Right.
We're not, the logistics of finding firearm dealers to, transfer the firearms through and that type of stuff is not something that we can do.
He might buy a new car.
It's kind of a unique situation.
He might buy a new car, right? Buy some weed or something like that just to relax. Buy some alcohol. A drunk George Zimmerman with a gun. Way to go, Joe. You guys are doing great work, man. Now you're making Florida less safe. Man. All right, let's catch up with Tim Sullivan. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Nathan, and to your guests. Good morning.
Yeah, Joe Eaton is on the line.
Okay, Joe, just a couple questions. Do you believe when you possess a gun, it gives you a false sense of security and maybe a boosted confidence?
A false sense of security, no. A boosted confidence, I would not say. Myself and most of my students have said that, you know, it tends to have just the opposite effect.
Oh, that's
BS. Knowing that concealed carry license holder, that, you know, you have to avoid any type of physical confrontation seems to make more people more passive.
Okay, then let me ask you this. Again, a false sense of security, boosted confidence. To me, it equals trouble. Now, look at George Zimmerman. Now, he had this firearm. Okay, he got out, he virtually stalked this young man, and then when he caused a physical confrontation, and he outweighed the young man by 100 pounds, and first thing he wants to do is pull out his gun and kill the young man. So do you think that contributed at all by him having that firearm and say, look, I'm going to stalk this kid in my car, I'm going
to
get out, and
to escalate the situation.
Life, and then he's getting whooped, and he pulls the gun and kill him. What do you think about that?
You know, I wish I had those answers, and, you know, the jury may not have all of the answers to that because, you know, they looked at all of this up until the point in time and said, when the physical confrontation took place, did George Zimmerman fear for his life at that point in time? And they determined that, yes, his only way to preserve his life was to use deadly force. And, you know, that is a right that all of us have, regardless of where we're at or what state we're in or anything else. The right to go home to our families at the end of the day is the most sacred right that any of us have.
You got the script down, Joe. Tim, okay. Anything else?
Yeah. Another question. How do you feel about House Bill 203?
There are a lot of great changes in House Bill 203. And again, you know, it will help align Ohio's law with what a lot of the other states out there are doing and where this type of legislation is working very well in other states.
Stay on your ground, which basically is open on our African-American youth, what it seems to be going to the last couple of presidents.
As I asked the lady earlier, at that point in time, if somebody is in fear for serious bodily harm or death, are you saying that they should not have the right to use any tool that they want to protect themselves and go home to their families?
I don't have any problem with that. I have a problem with taking this stand your ground law and using it as a legal defense to go out and actually stalk people, cause a confrontation and kill them. That's what my problem
is. And if that is the facts of the case, it does not hold up. And
what
in fact,
do you feel
the
about?
Doctrine in Ohio is exactly the same way. It's a rebuttable defense, and it starts off as an affirmative defense. That means you first have to be charged for that. Then you can claim that I was not guilty because of the Castle Doctrine, or I met the legal requirements for self-defense. If any of those are proven untrue, it is right back to where we started from, and they go through the whole jury process just like we did in the Zimmerman case.
And what about an unregistered gun? Somebody that has an unregistered gun and they kill somebody and they try to use your stand the ground to
shoot. Yeah, unregistered.
Tim, with that, thanks for the call, man.
There's no gun registration in Ohio.
All right, let's move on. Let's catch up with Doretha. Good morning, Doretha.
Good morning, Nathan.
You have a question for Joe?
Your guest name, Joe.
Joe Eaton. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I see right now that he has no type of sympathy or anything for Trayvon Martin. Only thing he could see is what George was protecting himself. How would he like if his son was on his way home to his house with an iced tea and a Skittle and a black boy grab take his life? How would he like that? Would he wouldn't be what the send money for guns and stuff to the other person if he gets out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I understand, Doretha. Thank you for the call. Have a good morning. Yeah, it gets back to what I said earlier. Just that move at this time, it's just too early. It makes your organization look unsympathetic, uncaring, and almost like a bully in a sense to promote putting money together to donate to George Zimmerman. So I'm sure you're getting a lot of that through your website, I'm sure.
But how long after we'd have said he was not guilty, this was not a crime, he should have not went through all of this, do we wait to make him whole?
Well, guilty.
Jury said he's not guilty. From that moment on, he should be right back to how he was before this all started.
Guilt or innocence, like I say, man, a lot of folks are going to come down and look at this jury and say that's really where this particular case was lost. Because with a different jury, could have a different outcome. But you're right, we've got to deal with the conclusions as they come up. I'm just saying it's bad taste for your organization. Because this guy is going to have to get on television in a jury during a civil trial. He's going to answer a lot of these questions, and it's going to be difficult for him, man. And it's going to come back to your folks who've been funding this guy money as if he really needs it. I say, look, if you're going to give him money, then support sensible gun laws, right? Responsible gun laws, like the Martin trial and the Martin Foundation. Yo, Joe?
Yeah, and again, like I said, if that is something that will benefit House Bill 203, which we have here in Ohio right now,
no, it won't.
That's something we can certainly look at adding.
Well, no, it's not going to benefit that, but it might benefit the circumstances down in Florida, though. It might benefit that. But let's go back and talk with, let's up with Maze. How you doing, Maze?
Hello. Yes, I have a question for Joe.
Yes.
Since it was all about Zimmerman not being arrested in the first place for the crime he had committed. You don't shoot somebody and walk around as innocent. You're supposed to be arrested. That was the whole thing. You missing out on the whole point to give him his gun back. He had, the civil suit got to come before he get his gun back. But I have one question to ask Joe. Now, what if that Trayvon mother was a white woman and he was, and she had a black cousin, or reverse, his son, his father was white and his mother was black? How would you, as a be a juror of your peers, think that that court would have came out? See, this is what you're going to be dealing with in the future, and they're not going to sit back and watch people like you talking about a Second Amendment right to have the right to walk around and shoot their child because of his skin color. They ain't gonna have that. So with that end, and you giving Zimmerman money because you just like it. That's why you giving money and using something else for an excuse.
Ooh, with that, Mace, thanks for the call. Well, let me kind of answer that. Number one, Joe, I mean, the race does matter, but it's not really the issue right now. I mean, the issue right now is kind of changing the system so that we get a more fair and equitable shot. And if we can't do that, then at least we need to address these stand your ground mentalities and do something about the mass proliferation of so many guns. And I know Wayne LaPierre once famously said the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. But that doesn't work with nuclear weapons or bombs, right? So why would it work with guns? I'm telling you, man. So just something to think about, Joe. But I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, no problem. I'll join you anytime you would like.
Oh, okay, definitely, Joe. Take it easy, man.
See ya.
Appreciate it, Joe. Cool right there. Joe Eaton.